Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman, as the announcer just mentioned. And joining me is Ed Battagliano, and we are not in studio. We're in our traveling studio here in Nashville, Tennessee, aren't we, Ed?
Yes, we are. We're at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, Proclaim 18, here in Nashville,
Tennessee.
That's
the theme, Proclaim 18?
Proclaim 18, 2018.
Every conference has to have a theme, don't they?
You have to, if it's part of the convention conference rules.
You can't just say, welcome to the conference.
That's right. Welcome to the 2018 conference.
Gotta have something.
And there's a whole team that work on what are we going to call this?
Right, messaging, they call it.
Proclaim.
So it's Proclaim 18. That is the theme of the National Religious Broadcasters Convention here in Nashville at the Opryland Hotel. And we're seeing a lot of friends of ours and people that you're familiar with on American Family Radio. Saw Dr. David Jeremiah last night. He and his wife just walking down the down the hallway here at the hotel. And, I'm name dropping. But let's see. I'll probably name drop some more here in a few minutes. But Fred Jackson is in our studios in Tupelo along with Walker Wildman. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. Good morning. Is it raining there in Nashville?
Not inside the hotel here.
This is not that kind of hotel,
right.
Fred.
Okay. This is a little, as you know, Fred, this is a little city.
A little city under glass.
Yeah, under glass. It's like a big atrium. Well, it is a big atrium. Yeah. It's amazing. But it has been raining a little bit here in Music City, yes.
Well, you'll be happy to know we're getting some much-needed rain here in Tupelo.
Oh, my goodness.
Just 5 inches expected today. So.
Five inches?
No, you're a liar.
Four to 5 inches is what the weather alert that came out this morning.
For those who don't know, okay, in parts of the Mid-South, North Mississippi, North Alabama, probably even up near where we are now in Nashville, and maybe Arkansas, and it's been raining for like 6 weeks.
Yes, okay, it seems that way.
Well, three or four days a week.
Yes.
So the ground's saturated, and it's Fred's saying 4 or 5 inches, like, you know, but that could cause serious flooding, right, Fred?
Oh, absolutely.
Is that funny, Fred?
If you live on high ground, you're okay, but no.
So laugh at the little people down in the valley, huh? Okay.
If you're living on high ground, you're okay, except if you have to go anywhere.
I understand in your neighborhood, Tim, boats are being hauled out, so you're comfortable with that.
Okay. Well, hey, last week the water did get within like 10 feet of my house. So, yeah. I mean, now it wasn't like feet of water.
Right.
Just running water off the yard. But still, it was kind of like, you know, if we get any more rain, something's going to bad happen here.
Yeah.
All right. So, anyway, that's a story. But the big story, the big national story is what's happening in Washington, D.C., Fred?
Yeah. I'm just looking at that right now. The body of the late Billy Graham is being taken at this very moment, gentlemen, into the rotunda there at Capitol Hill, where it will lie in honor today and tomorrow. It's a very solemn, very historic scene that's happening right now. Billy Graham is the first member of the clergy to be given this honor. And what I'm looking at right now is a scene under the rotunda, members of the House, Senate, the president and first lady arrived just a few moments ago. They are standing and waiting for the body of Billy Graham to be brought in. It was flown up this morning from Charlotte, where it was open to the public there yesterday. It was taken up on a plane. His son, Franklin Graham, Samaritan Purse, the Samaritan Purse plane, flew it up to Washington, D.C. this morning. And as I say, it's a very historic, a very solemn moment that we're looking at right now, and the body will lie in honor, as I say, today. Members of Congress can come by first, but it'll be also open to the public as today rolls along and tomorrow. So just an incredible day, and then on Friday, the body will be back in Charlotte for the official funeral of Billy Graham. And we understand just over 2,000 guests. It's described as a private funeral, but just over 2,000 guests have been invited to that funeral back in Charlotte on Friday.
Hey, Fred, my understanding is that the casket for Billy Graham is a very simple pine wood casket or something made by some prisoners at a nearby prison or maybe one down in Louisiana. Catch me up to speed a little bit on that.
Yeah, as you say, it is a casket made by prison inmates there, I assume, in North Carolina. You know, and I'm looking at that right now. It has just been placed on a pedestal of sorts there in the middle of the rotunda. And it is fitting, and his son Franklin Graham has mentioned this. In fact, the other day, Franklin Graham, on the first day of the wake, said his dad would not want all the attention that's being paid to him right now. Now, the nation can't help it. He's such an incredible figure. But he almost jokingly said, my dad would be embarrassed by all the attention that he is getting at this moment. But the casket, as you referenced, I think is a demonstration of how Billy Graham led his life. You know, he was in the spotlight, but that's not what he sought. He sought to share the gospel, and he did so with millions of people around the world. But as I say, this is an incredible honor. The first member of the clergy in American history to lie in honor in our Capitol Rotunda in the nation's capital.
Yeah, I'm at the Billy Graham, BillyGraham.org, the website for the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. It says a pine plywood casket crafted in 2006 by inmates at the Louisiana State Penitentiary in Angola, Louisiana. It's lined with a mattress pad.
Yeah.
And on top rests a simple wooden cross that the prisoners nailed into place. That's just a very poignant part of this whole process because, as you said, Fred, he was a very, even though he was world renowned, even though he was in many ways a pastor to every president since I think it was Harry Truman, he was a very simple man and was not out for the limelight. So. A lesson for us all.
Yeah, sure.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We're broadcasting live from Nashville, Tennessee at the Opryland Hotel. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano, and Walker and Fred are back in the studio in Tupelo. Walker, we failed to mention the video streaming we got going on of the show, right?
That's right. We're live streaming on Facebook as we do each Monday through Friday from 10 to 11:30 Central. Live streaming on Facebook. Also, you can comment below the live feed and find the news stories. For example, I just posted a news story and actual live feed of the Billy Graham ceremony on Capitol Hill. Right now, you can find that on our Facebook page. And in addition, on YouTube, you can watch the show and actually see Tim and Ed in Nashville. So,
Can you really?
Yeah, you go to YouTube and type in Today's Issues Live and see our team here in Tupelo and the team in Nashville.
A while ago, they had the banner over here with my big picture on it, and that would have been on the video too, but I couldn't take two of me. I couldn't take me staring.
And you suspected that no one else could.
Yeah, well. I didn't want me staring back at me during the show for an hour and a half. But anyway, we are enjoying our time here. Ed, I dropped a name. You seen any?
Well, Dr. Richard Land was just in here.
Yeah, he was. Yes.
Hey, listen, I've walked down the halls with my wife, and I've had several people nod at me.
You have?
Yeah. I'm not saying they didn't know who I was, but they nodded and said hello.
Hotel security? And
some of them might have been famous. You know, it's one of those things where I get a lot of this from famous people. Hey, brother.
Who is that guy? Tell me. How you doing? Nice to see you.
Hey, do you want to make mention
Vice President
of the fact-
Pence spoke here yesterday?
Yes, he did.
And Dr. Ben Carson was here too, the Health and Human Services Secretary.
Important people.
They shut the traffic down out here on the interstate that runs by the hotel for half an hour or so. Because the vice president was here, his motorcade may not be exactly what the president's is,
right.
But it's pretty serious security detail, and they'll you know these guys, these I guess Secret Service, they can just block off. They'll stop an interstate. It doesn't matter to them.
That's right.
But it was nice to have the vice president here. He's a kindred spirit with the people here at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. And go ahead.
Well, I was just going to mention that this, you know, being here is such an honor for so the staff that's here from American Family Radio. And we do want to thank our friends at Operation Christmas Child for their support, which helps make this broadcast possible. So that they're a good part of the reason why we're here.
The Opryland wants to be paid.
Yes.
Opryland Hotel. They charge for their rooms.
Yeah.
So
Operation Christmas Child helps us to do that.
And that's Samaritan's Purse.
Yes.
Speaking to the Graham family.
Right.
All right, Fred, what's next?
Well, we have been talking about here on today's issues about the mayor of Oakland, California. Oakland is one of those cities that declares itself a sanctuary city. In other words, we're not going to cooperate with the federal government that is trying to arrest and deport people who have entered this country illegally. So the mayor of Oakland, a few days ago, her name is Libby Schaaf, sent out a public warning, said she had credible sources that told her that members of ICE were coming to do raids to pick up, arrest people who are living in that city illegally. And so she warns them several days in advance, and she said she had a duty and a moral obligation to warn those people. Well, yesterday ICE carried out that raid. They arrested 150 in that area of Oakland, but we're told that ICE is aware that perhaps as many as 800 more apparently fled thanks to the mayor. This morning, the acting ICE director, Thomas Holman, was on Fox and Friends. And he certainly probably is not a member of the fan club of the mayor there in Oakland for giving those illegals a heads up. But also he talked about California and the number of arrests just last year in California of people who are in this country illegally. It's cut number one.
What she did is no better than a gang lookout yelling police when a police cruiser comes in the neighborhood, except she did it to the entire community. And last year in FY17, we arrested over 20,000 illegal aliens in California. 81% of those illegal aliens committed yet another crime, were a convicted criminal. They committed one other crime other than entering the country illegally, which is a crime.
Now, can you imagine for a moment, just in the state of California last year, ICE arrested 20,000 people who are in this country illegally. 80% of those have committed crimes beyond entering the country illegally. You know, you see a lot of reports in the mainstream media, secular media, that these are people who are here and they haven't committed any other crimes, just passing the border illegally. Listen to this, folks. One of those arrested yesterday there in Oakland, he has been convicted of multiple crimes, including assault with a deadly weapon. And also, one of those picked up a man who had been previously deported to Mexico 8 times. Now, when you hear something like that, is there any argument that we don't need a more secure southern border? And it's also a testimony to what was going on during the Barack Obama years, when basically our southern border was a sieve.
Walker, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say that I like the ICE director, at least the acting ICE director. He's very tough, and so it's good to see them going into California, even in defiance of the mayor, and sweeping up those who are committing multiple crimes and been deported multiple times. Hopefully, they can get the wall put up and they won't come back.
Let me ask you this, Fred. Maybe you don't know the answer to this, but I'll ask you anyway. What happens to these people? You said they arrested how many?
150. Yesterday, 150.
Okay, what happens to them?
Well, they would immediately be deported. They're
already
known.
I bet they're scared. Wow.
Yeah.
Going to be deported, are they?
Be deported. Yeah. And I should qualify that. If they are still wanted for other crimes, remember, some of these people have been in jail before for other crimes. If they still haven't paid the penalty for existing crimes that they've committed since they re-entered the country, I would imagine they'll be turned over to authorities to go through the judicial process.
Yeah, I guess I'm a little cynical here because, as I mentioned before, if you've been deported and you come back and you come back and you get deported and you come back again, I don't see the point in continuing to deport them. Do you, Ed?
Well, you got to follow the law, and that's what ICE is doing. Now, Mayor Schaaf of Oakland said, in pushing back on ICE's criticism Tuesday, she said, quote, "I do not regret sharing this information. It is Oakland's legal right to be a sanctuary city, and we have not broken any laws." So it is apparently and I think she's accurate, it is the right of a mayor or a state not to cooperate with ICE. Until you get that border shut down to where deportation is something, like you said, something to be afraid of, then this problem is going to happen over and over again. And for ICE in fiscal year 2017 to have deported 20,000 individuals just from California, 81% of them have committed a crime other than entering into the country. If you don't close off that border, then what ICE does won't matter.
Yeah, you see my point?
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. It's...
I mean, when you read, we're reading that a lot of these criminals, they've been deported six times, five times, four times, and I'm just going, well, evidently deportation does not work.
Right.
So we do need the border wall to prevent a lot of these folks from coming back. Also, I think you need I think it was Bill O'Reilly who championed Cates Law a few years ago. Mm-hmm. That is that if you leave the country, if you're deported from the country, that's your first chance. That's your first strike. And if you then come back in to America after you've been deported – because you've been a criminal or you're just here illegally, then there are serious ramifications. You're going to be put in prison for 5 years or something of that nature. You have to have some kind of consequence, serious consequence. Otherwise, people are just going to walk back over again. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. So the mayor of Oakland says she has a right to be – they have a right to be a sanctuary city. As we've mentioned before, think about this. What if a city or a state said, you know, we're not going to enforce the laws regarding abortion. We're going to be a sanctuary city.
For the unborn.
For the unborn.
That'd be great.
Imagine the cry from the left.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, and a state and city actually has more standing legally to do that than they do to ignore federal law, because abortion is not federal law. It's a Supreme Court ruling, a Supreme Court opinion.
Duly noted, but the left would go any issue if you were to say that to the left, you know, we're going to ignore this because we're a sanctuary city, so we're a sanctuary state, so that this particular federal law we don't like, we're going to ignore, and we're not going to cooperate with the feds. But I tell you what, there is a new sheriff in town with President Trump, so to speak, and you know. He is, it seems to me, with the ICE agency and their director and the support he's given the Border Patrol, the border fence, he is continuing with the theme that he ran on, that it was securing the borders and stopping mass illegal immigration into the U.S. Hey, at the bottom of the hour, we're going to visit with, that's in like 7 or 8 minutes, we're going to visit with some young people from the National Bible Bee. We'll tell you all about that. This may be something you're... young person wants to participate in coming up. So it's a Bible memorization program, but it's a lot of fun, and they do it on television. So they have their contest.
Under Pressure.
Under Pressure. David Bowie, maybe? I'm not sure who it was, Under Pressure.
Oh.
Never mind. That's a story for another day.
You're listening ask Walker.
To, Walker you know. Doesn't even know.
Yeah,
that,
yeah ask me.
Singers from the 70s and 80s, ask Walker.
Fred,
love you, brother.
Fred, next up. Go ahead.
All right. Well, down in Parkland, Florida, kids at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School are returning to class today, 2 weeks after that horrible incident there, the massacre of 17 students and teachers who died there at the hands of that gunman. And as a backdrop to all of that today, the legislature there in Florida is working on a law that is aimed at making schools more secure, and they believe that they can be a blueprint for such plans across the country. Now, what in Florida, what they're considering, one of the things they're considering is in that state, they want to raise the age of ability for a person to buy what would be described as an assault weapon or an automatic weapon to 21. That's one of the steps that they believe needs to be taken. And this, of course, goes back to the young man who has been charged, who was able to buy a gun because the age right now is 18. That particular thing is going to be, I'm sure, debated, raising that age. Now, what everybody seems to agree on, at least, is that schools need to be more secure. That one possibility for this legislation in Florida is going to be to allow teachers, other staff members who are qualified, to become armed so that they can be first responders. So, and then there's the other aspect to the Florida story. The sheriff there in Broward County continues to take a lot of heat. He is going to be, he is the subject of an investigation right now by a committee in the legislature, also obviously by the Attorney General of Florida, Pam Bundy. They believe the work, the response of the Broward County Sheriff's Office was well below standard. And I think that sheriff is in very deep trouble.
Yeah, as you say, the Attorney General of Florida is investigating that and has hinted that there were some serious problems that day with the Broward County Sheriff's Department, and they're going to be revealed publicly in the near future. Mm-hmm. By the way, before we go to a break here, I don't know, did y'all see that President Trump is not none too happy with Jeff Sessions again?
Again,
yeah. I don't know if he'll make it much longer.
Well, I just happened to have a clip of Attorney General Jeff Sessions, what he said yesterday that has made the president upset. Well, let's have a listen to that.
We believe the Department of Justice must adhere to the high standards in the FISA court. And yes, it will be investigated. And I think that's just the appropriate thing. The Inspector General will take that as one of the matters he'll deal with.
Well, that comment prompted a tweet from President Trump this morning. Why is AG Jeff Sessions asking the Inspector General to investigate potentially massive FISA abuse? Will take forever. Has no prosecutorial power and already late with reports on Comey, etc. Isn't the IG an Obama guy? Why not use Justice Department lawyers? Disgraceful.
That no, disgraceful all caps.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. In his tweet.
How does that meeting go the next day in the White House? The president, your boss, has just called you your actions disgraceful.
Mm-hmm.
How do you? Other than that, Jeff, you're doing a great job.
Yeah.
I mean, how does this?
Except
how does,
for that Russian thing.
Yeah. How does Russia? Yeah. How can you keep on?
I don't know,
Fred.
I mean, the relationship has been rough pretty well from the get-go because of the Attorney General Jeff Sessions recusing himself from the Russian investigation. Did not get off to a good start, and it has not been good ever since.
Well, to me, too, you have two even though the reason those two guys are together was over the illegal immigration issue, and Jeff Sessions, the former senator from Alabama, endorsed, was the first senator to endorse then candidate Trump in Alabama. They couldn't be two more different people.
Personality-wise.
Personality types, huh?
Yeah, President Trump wants a street fighter.
He's a New York brawler.
Right.
You know, and Jeff Sessions is a Southern gentleman.
Yes.
And they just, I don't know. We'll see what happens. But I don't see how that relationship continues. We'll be back momentarily with more of today's issues from Nashville, Tennessee.
On the next Today's Issues.
Walker Wildman is handling our Facebook presence in the world.
Yeah, if you have a Facebook account, just type in Today's Issues in your search bar, and then our page will pop up. and you can watch the show there every day, or you can view all the articles that we talk about.
Right, but you can also be our friend.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. We still have seats available for our September tours of Washington, D.C. and Williamsburg. Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon, that's one tour. And then Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown, that is a separate tour. Now, we put them back-to-back so you can do both. If you're flying in from Texas or Montana or California or wherever you may be coming from, so that you can do those tours back-to-back with us if that's something you so choose to do. Now, Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation will be with us all along the way as our historian. Stephen will add context, he'll answer questions, talk about the people, the places, the events that make up our early American history. So for more information on this Spiritual Heritage Tour, go to the website spiritualheritagetours.com. SpiritualHeritageTours.com for the September tour information.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Liberty University is preparing students to enter a competitive job market. They have a low student-to-professor ratio, a caring Christian faculty, and more than 550 programs of study, ranging from undergraduate certificates to doctoral degrees. As the largest Christian university in the world, Liberty continues to establish itself as both a leading liberal arts university and an institution dedicated to the Christian faith. Learn more at liberty.edu. That's liberty.edu. When Delta Airlines decided to cut ties with the National Rifle Association, Georgia conservatives decided enough was enough.
We're not just going to sit by idly and allow organizations to, you know, treat NRA members the way they've been treated.
That's Lieutenant Governor Casey Cagle, a Republican on my nationally syndicated radio program. He threw down the hammer, gave the state's largest employer an ultimatum: either make amends with the NRA or risk losing a $40 million tax break on jet fuel.
Conservatives need to stand up, and we need to fight. And this is our opportunity. This is our moment in time to do so. And when we do it, once we win this one, it's good. The next battle is going to be a lot easier.
Delta, just one of a number of companies that have cut ties with the NRA after that deadly school shooting in Florida, a shooting the NRA had nothing to do with. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Hey, we thank you for listening to AFR, American Family Radio. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano for the program Today's Issues, and we're broadcasting live from Nashville, Tennessee at the Opryland Hotel for the annual National Religious Broadcasters Convention. And Ed is here with me in studio, and Walker and Fred are back in Tupelo. And joining us now, maybe you've seen on television, folks, this National Bible Bee. And it's fascinating to watch these young people recite scripture, and they have contests, and they have, quote, playoffs, and then they have a championship, and somebody wins a big prize. And joining us to talk about this are two young people. Hannah, good morning to you.
Good morning. Good to be
here. Hannah, what's your last name? Where are you from?
I'm Hannah Leary. I'm from Eden, New York, which is right outside of Buffalo.
Okay. And, young man?
I'm Samuel Walls, and I'm from Bells, Tennessee, which is between Memphis and Nashville.
Okay. Samuel and Hannah, thank you for being on with us today. Hannah, how old are you?
I'm 20, so I am not a participant, but I did participate in the Bible Bee for 6 years between 12 and 17.
Okay. And tell our listeners what the National Bible Bee is.
Yeah, so the National Bible Bee is a competition that the mission of it is to know God's Word and to make Him known. And it's for young people ages 7 to 18 years old. And it starts off with a summer study where they're able to dig into a specific passage of Scripture. And they get a few memory passages to learn. And it's really just a simple 20-minute-a-day program, which is interactive. active. They are participate in summer groups in their local community, and at the end of the summer they have a proclaim day, and they're able to show what they learned and proclaim it, and then they take a test, and that test can qualify them for the national competition, which is in December. And that's like a, you know, the national spelling bee. It's similar to that. It's the national Bible bee, and so it's
so let me get this right. So you have to register. That's what you're here to tell.
Exactly. Yeah. Registration opens March 1st, which is tomorrow. Okay. So that, and the summer study starts on June 1st. So the registration period just about to kick off, and we're excited to have thousands of young people be signing
what
up.
What age groups qualify?
The competition is for ages 7 through 18, okay. But as young as age 5 can sign up for the summer study.
Age five.
Yes, yeah, that's the beginner level. The age 5 through 6, ages 5 and 6, and they can just do the summer study. They have a discovery journal that they get, which is age appropriate, and it just takes them through a passage of scripture and gets them into the Word.
So when they have competitions, there's a certain set number of passages identified that you have to memorize in advance. It's not just throw open the Bible and and point, and you gotta you have to have it memorized. That's not the way it works.
For the summer study, it's between 10 and 14, 15 passages that they memorize over the summer. It's an 8-week study, and so they're studying a specific theme and passage of the scripture. Last year, it was Genesis 1 through 3, and the theme was created. And so each of the kids got a discovery journal, which is a book that they can go through, and 20 minutes a day they can learn the scriptures and study it, get to know it, and just a practical application for their life. And then they have those memory passages that go along with the theme, and they're able to recite that and use those in the competition.
So how do we read about this now?
Go to BibleBee.org.
BibleBee.org, and you're accepting registrations for this year starting tomorrow.
Registration opens March 1st, tomorrow. Amen. Yep.
Samuel, so you tell me, how far did you get in the competition?
This year, I made it to nationals, but in previous years, I won third in the game show.
Okay, in the game show. I mean, this is a television program, right?
Yes, sir.
Where did you go to do that?
San Antonio.
So did you have to recite scripture in front of a whole bunch of people and television cameras? And, I mean, this is a high-pressure situation, right?
Yes, sir.
But you handled it well, obviously, because you placed third. And okay, so tell me what your Bible verse was on stage there, or verse is.
I said like 20 or 30 on stage.
Well, I mean, I'm looking for you to give me an example. So go ahead, pick out a Bible.
Or a current example, yeah, something
yeah.
that.
Yeah, and Jesus wept doesn't count. So you got to do better than that.
All right.
Go ahead.
Psalm 29, 3 through 4. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty.
Amen. And that's from where? What scripture?
Psalm 29:3-4.
So you have, how many of those kinds of verses could you recite if we had time to do it right there? Like hundreds, ten, dozens? How many?
Hundreds.
Hundreds. And the point is not just to recite something, but is to hide the Word of God in your heart. That's what your parents got you involved in this for, right?
Yes, sir.
Yes. And Hannah, same reason, right?
Exactly. Yeah. It's a wonderful opportunity for families just to get into the Word together. They're all studying the same theme. They have the same passages for that summer study portion. And it's for people like Samuel, you know, young kids, they've memorized thousands of verses. They've participated for years. And that's the highest level, you know, and it's so motivating and inspiring. But for the summer study, it's for everyone, and anyone can do it.
So Samuel and, you know, Hannah, either one can answer this question, but do you ever find yourself in church when the preacher's reading from a passage, if he makes a mistake on one word, you go, that's not what it says? Does that ever happen? You can be honest here.
Nobody, yes, sir.
You do that.
And my dad's the pastor. So.
Okay, so yeah. on the way to KFC afterwards, yeah, you're going, Dad, you know you missed verse 3.
I want to know if you ever go out to Outback and the waitress asks you what you want and you start quoting Psalm 31 or something like that. You know, you just sort of slip into that mode because you're studying all the time. Anyway, listen, Hannah, Samuel, it's a privilege to have you with us, and what a wonderful organization to be a part of, and you're trying to exalt the Bible and mm-hmm. God's Word, and that's great. Thank you guys for coming by.
Thank you. Our pleasure.
Appreciate it.
Thank
and go to where now?
On the BibleBee.org.
BibleBee.
And they can register tomorrow. Yep, BibleBee.org.
Okay, Samuel and Hannah, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Both. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Okay, Walker.
You want Psalm 1.
Psalm 1, go Walker.
1 through 3.
Go. Okay.
Yeah. You think that's funny?
Yeah.
Wow. Hilarious. Hilarious.
You're disappointing us.
Let me pull up my Bible app. Give me a minute.
Okay. There you go.
Your Bible app. Okay.
Yeah, do you ever see people in church now? Some people, especially the younger people, they pull out their phones, right?
Yeah, I don't buy it.
I don't either.
They're not on their Bible.
No, and they, I judge them.
I do too, immediately.
I think they need to
be
judged.
I immediately do. Huh? Yeah.
Get off your phone. And then they point at the, show me the phone where they're, have their Bible up
there.
Yeah,
they're flipping screens.
Yeah. You're listening to something wrong about being in church, seeing people with a phone in front of their face while the pastor's talking.
They're checking scores.
Yeah, they are.
I'm telling you, watching YouTube videos. I know that because when I'm preaching and they start laughing,
right,
when I hadn't said anything funny, they're watching YouTube videos.
Gotcha. All right, Fred Jackson, what's next in the news there?
Let's talk about Nancy Pelosi.
Oh, good. Couldn't wait to talk about Nancy Pelosi. Thank you so much.
Well, Nancy Pelosi, Republicans make fun of her, and I guess that's not very nice. But now she's becoming a problem for some Democrats. We all know this is an election year, but in a couple of weeks, there is a special election for an open congressional seat in Southwest Pennsylvania. The Democrat who is running there, his name is Connor Lamb, L-A-M-B. The ads that are running by his Republican opponent, Rick Sanconi, says this. He says Lamb would be just one more congressional sheep. Get it? Pun intended. Behind that San Francisco liberal, Nancy Pelosi. Well, Mr. Lamb, who's a 33-year-old former Marine, he's been hurt, apparently, by this, and he has countered with his own ad. Now, this is the Democrat who's running for this open seat on March the 13th. He is running an ad now. My opponent wants you to believe the biggest issue of this campaign is Nancy Pelosi, Lamb says in the ad. But looking directly into the camera, Lamb adds, it's all a big lie. He has pledged not to support the 77-year-old Nancy Pelosi, and he casts Sacconi as the real lackey in the race. So there you have it. This is more problems for Nancy Pelosi. You have people making fun of her now. You have Democrats who are saying we need new leadership. And now you have a Democrat running for the special election in a couple of weeks in Southwest Pennsylvania who is running an ad committing himself not to support Nancy Pelosi. So like it or not, she's becoming an election campaign, and Democrats are running as fast as they can from Nancy Pelosi.
Well, but you got to admit her creativity with handling the border security situation by mowing the grass a little shorter down there on the border.
I mean, oh my!
That you got to give her five stars for creativity, right there, don't you? Don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting that I've been reading about Dianne Feinstein in California. She failed to win her party's endorsement at the state convention. She's not liberal enough, Dianne Feinstein. And so this is an article I was reading on The Hill was talking about how this indicates the party's shift to the left. When you've got long-term stalwarts like Dianne Feinstein who are not liberal enough, man, I think the Democratic Party could be moving itself into trouble.
Well, what are they going to run on this fall? Are they actually now? Nancy Pelosi has suggested going out and running against tax reform. That's a winning thing for the Democrats. I mean.
Well, that was Nancy Pelosi's idea, wasn't it?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that was before more on the grass down. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
She had a string of hits right there.
Yeah.
She did.
Calling it crumbs.
A lot of
folks trifecta. In this country, $2,000 bonuses. No, I'm sorry, Ms. Pelosi. That's not crumbs for us.
Well, it's crumbs for her and her husband. They're worth $100 million.
It is time for, you know, I'm no fan of, I think Nancy Pelosi's wonderful for the Republican Party and for the conservative side of things. So I would hope that she would hang on for about 10 more years. However, I would say just from a practical matter, for the Democratic Party, there needs to be an intervention.
Yes.
There needs to be an intervention, and they need to tell Nancy, we love you. You served our party great, but it's time to go back to San Francisco. In other words, she needs to be forced out because she is not a good spokesperson.
No. She's becoming the face of the Democratic Party.
Right.
And it's no pun intended here. It's not the kind of face you want
right
out in front. So
yeah.
I don't mean that in a mean way.
I know what you're
way,
saying. No, I know what you're saying. You mean it in a nice, mean way.
That's right. In the nicest possible mean way.
Okay, yeah. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Well, in studio with us at the hotel here is Abraham Hamilton III, Abe's General Counsel for American Family Association, public policy analyst for AFA, and also host of the Hamilton Corner each afternoon here on AFR from 5:05 to 6 o'clock Central Time. Good morning, Abe.
Hola.
Hola.
Is that appropriate?
Well, yeah, but
why did
you, are you talking about, what are you?
What are you getting at, Abe? Well, I mean, there's something about sanctuaries and states.
Oh, okay, yeah, hola. Hey, when we go to when I've been to Cancun, you know, that's how hola. You say hola to everybody, of course.
Yeah.
That's Spanish, Ed. Did you know that?
Yes.
Yeah.
I took Spanish in high school.
Yeah.
3 years in high school and 2 years in college.
OLA.
And I would starve if I had to rely on how much Spanish I've retained.
I took French. I remember my name, Timotei. That's Timothy.
Yes, the American educational system at its finest.
Well, when you only take a semester or two and then you never use it again, you just remember the...
You have to be immersed in it.
You just remember four or five phrases or words. That's about all you remember. All right, Abe, what do you think about, we were just talking about Nancy Pelosi here. Think Nancy Pelosi needs to stay on for the good of the Republican Party or what?
Well, I mean, she hasn't hurt the Republican Party much. I mean, and there's not much else you can hope to come out of that 12th district in San Francisco. So if they have to have somebody, Nancy's the gift that keeps on giving.
Pretty soon she won't be liberal enough.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that when Dianne Feinstein didn't get the vote of the confidence of her state's party.
Right, right.
This is the Twilight Zone.
Fred, I want to ask you and Walker to get you to comment on this. Secular progressivism, it's kind of like an insatiable appetite they have for I don't know what you call it, socialism / communism. Mm-hmm. And you can never do enough for these people. I mean, they've got to have somebody that's committed, I guess, to the destruction of America as we know it, or else you're not going to be committed to the cause enough for these folks.
The two best things that could happen is Nancy Pelosi remains in power and President Trump pulls ICE out of California. Those are the two greatest things that could happen, because if you pull ICE out of California, thousands of illegal immigrants and criminals stay in California. The Californians who put the liberal, socialist, Marxist politicians in power would begin to actually live under their own policies.
You sound like your dad. Just sort of being over the top sarcastic there sometimes.
I don't think Walker's
being
sarcastic.
No, I'm being serious.
I think, you know, listen, I agree with Walker. You know, reality is a brutal teacher. And sometimes you've got to force people to live in the real world under their own policies. And that's why I've always said, you know, I've mentioned this countless times on this show, that when I grew up in New Hampshire. And we had back then in the late 70s, people from Massachusetts leaving the state because of their predatory tax policy moving to New Hampshire. They put people into office that destroyed their businesses, took most of their money, and so they fled. Now, the downside to that is they've started voting for quote-unquote progressives in New Hampshire. Same type of leaders.
Mm-hmm.
But people do not like living under the kinds of policies that these radical leftists are advocating, because it doesn't work in the real world.
Yeah.
And I think now this article that I mentioned on the Hill that was talking about Dianne Feinstein, it's some of the Democrats who are responding to this kind of PR disaster for Dianne Feinstein. They are saying it's just California. This is not really a nationwide trend. I disagree. I think what's happening is revolutionaries are taking over the Democratic Party.
Right.
They are increasingly going to look at people like Dianne Feinstein and Nancy Pelosi and others, maybe even Chuck Schumer, as being quote-unquote Democratic establishment. We saw the blowback that Schumer got for not getting a deal done on DACA. And I think this is just going to push the Democratic Party further and further left.
I think the heart of the Democratic Party, Abe, today is represented by Bernie Sanders and his view and his candidacy. Where he got cheated, as we know now, by Hillary Clinton. That was the first time the Clintons have ever cheated. but
you got to take the show on the road.
The one time they did, it cost Bernie. You know, so we do know. We do know what happened there. And Bernie Sanders, I'm no
and
fan of
the Democratic
of
Party cheated Bernie Sanders. Yeah.
And certainly the energetic portion of the Democratic Party is the Bernie wing.
But that's what I was going to say, which is to Ed's point here, that the Democratic Party in this country has been taken over. You know, they accuse the Republicans of being taken over by right-wing radicals. You know, I don't think that's true. Because I'm not in charge. So, but I think the Democrats, they're going so far left.
Yeah.
I don't know if they can, you know, I don't know if that'll cost them or that'll help them in our country today. It maybe depends on which district and which state you live in, right?
Well, they've demonstrated a willingness to sacrifice the short term in order to win the long term. And so one of the things that has continued to happen with their hard left slant. I mean, they're slanting harder left in recent memory than they have in times past, but this is just the latest iteration of a continual leftward lurching that's happened. And what has happened when that occurs is that the Republicans are all too willing to uproot and go further left as well. So while it's happening, they're seeing, even if they lose landslide numbers of people in Congress, well, guess what happens? The country sentiment, for example, concerning Obamacare has changed.
Right.
When that was the thing that caused the landslide for Republicans to get into office. And what else has happened? Republicans have become a bit more comfortable with government top-down, government-run healthcare system. So you see these things happening, though they are suffering these electoral losses ideologically and perception-wise. They're still framing the debate, and Republicans still are allowing, you know, 6-7 Democrats in the House, in the Senate, to drive the legislative agenda. So though they're losing elections in the short term, it appears to them that they're winning in the long term.
You just stop and think for a moment. You know, go into a room, a strategy room with the Democrats right now. Okay, what are we going to run on this fall? Russian collusion. How do you think that resonates with
the words of Ed Tagliano, I got nothing.
Yeah.
Well, I got nothing.
What do you got? You know, the other day, the latest report on consumer optimism in this country, it's the highest it's been since the year 2000. Do the
math.
That
is wrong.
In 18 years.
Is wrong. That should be the mantra right there of the Democratic Party.
It's just crumbs.
What did you say, Fred?
You know,
the
consumer optimism.
And
highest it's been since the year 2000.
Yeah.
So that's taking the temperature of how people feel about spending their money.
Yeah. I will say another thing related to all this, and that is, I don't know if you guys have been keeping up with this, but President Trump's approval rating is at 50.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's 7 points higher than President Obama at this stage
point,
of the presidency.
You don't hear much about that. Of course not. I never thought he'd reach 50, quite frankly.
I didn't either.
Huh? Because
when you start putting money in people's pockets.
Yeah.
Yep.
Things changes
change
their attitude.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So people can be bought off. Americans are being bought off all over the country with this.
By jobs and higher pay.
Yeah.
Who thought it?
With their own money.
What about that,
Walker? With their own money. With their own money.
Yeah.
What about that, Walker? What about President Trump's approval rating? Are you kind of surprised? You follow politics good. Are you kind of surprised he's at 50 and made it to 50?
Well, I think the tax cuts.
Given the fact that he's beat up every day by the liberal media?
Yeah, I think the tax cuts put him over the top. I think the people who watch the CNN, MSNBC, all the liberal media outlets that constantly bash President Trump over what he eats and drinks every day, I think that's the grassroots party of the Democrats that watch those networks. So I don't think your Trump supporters or even your Middle America are watching the continual bashing of President Trump on the top media outlets. So, but I do think it's impressive that he is over 50%. But I think it's because of tax cuts and several other things.
By the way, your show Exposing Washington will be on Saturday. This is the third or fourth week, right?
That's right. This weekend,
Walker.
Yes, this past weekend we talked gun control and the pros and cons of it. We had on a representative from Gun Owners of America. This weekend we're going to circle back, and now that the discussion is going on in Washington, D.C., we're going to circle back and talk about whether gun laws are wise or not, whether more gun restrictions are wise or not, and whether they'll work, and we'll see where that goes.
Well, I know how you feel about that before you even do the show.
I don't think you should
pretend to be some kind of objective broker here.
Well, I do.
Probably got two guns on him right now.
Well, hey, I do present the facts also with my opinion, so I mix those two in. Yeah. But a positive thing is Paul Ryan was asked about whether Congress is going to enact, quote, more gun control. And Paul Ryan surprisingly stood up for the Second Amendment and the Constitution, and he said, look, I don't think we need to raise the age for purchasing rifles to 21. He said, we don't need to be focusing on banning guns for law-abiding citizens. He said, we need to be focusing on making sure criminals don't get the guns in their hands.
That sounds good. And to the point you were making, Tim, I think the thing that's contributing to President Trump's approval ratings increase is the tax cuts that is putting money back into the pockets of American citizens. But I also think it's pulling the rug from underneath the people who basically lied to the American people, saying this is the worst bill in the history of mankind. This is horrible. And people are waking up and saying, wait a minute. How could it be so bad for me to have an extra $200-$300 in my paycheck every week? And adding into that, maybe they've been lying to me about other things.
Right.
Too, with the incessant bludgeoning of President Trump by the mainstream media. I think some people are waking up to think, man, these guys are lying.
Mm. Yeah. Well, pardon me. I just never thought I'd see President Trump reach 50% because of the unmerciful daily beatdown he gets from and unfair criticism he gets from the
The Media Research Center said 91% of all news stories on ABC, CBS, and NBC were negative.
Yeah.
Unprecedented, they said, for a president's first year in office.
Yeah, so the fact that he can reach 50% approval rating, I do think it's largely attributable to what Walker cited there is the tax break.
Yeah,
a package that was passed, and now it's having people are seeing it in their paychecks, and they're feeling it, and also the economy is doing better.
I think that's why Democrats are fighting so hard against the wall. If he got the wall built as well, they could forget taking the White House back from him, I think, because those would be two huge things that if he accomplished it, people would start to see the evidence that he was right. Mm-hmm. And like Abe said, that means the Democrats have been lying to me about these issues.
Well, conservative business principles do work. They do work. They do, and especially if you don't have a heavy regulations, you know, that keep companies and businesses and people from, you know, seeing the fruits of their labor.
Right.
So I think what President Trump has done, although you don't see this in the headlines every day, he put people in charge of agencies like the EPA and others who are killing all these regulations that are choking business. And you don't see that. You know, that doesn't make headlines, but that leads to a stock market that goes up,
right,
ultimately, for example. So I think those things and the tax package cut and other things that he's been able to do has led to a stronger economy, and people are feeling good about it. And the Democrats, all they got left is to tell people, no, you don't feel good about it.
Right.
You shouldn't.
Yes.
Right. Thanks, Abe.
No problem.
All right, Abraham Hamilton III. Ed and I'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.